Romans chapter 8. Don't have any special singing tonight, and I'm not going to be doing it either. Been preaching like on Sunday night about praying, and still kind of on that vein tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." Heavenly Father, we do come to you tonight in prayer and thank you that we can meet. Got us here safe through the rain, and we're here dry and comfortable. I pray, Lord, you meet with us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord. Help our infirmities and our weaknesses, Lord, our indifference. Cure us of that. Lord, give us a filling of your Spirit. Lord, have our hearts set on you, a fire started there. And we're thankful for those testimonies of the young people that were at the prayer advance we had this morning. Lord, pray that not fade as well. And Lord, just ask you to do a great work. Lord, we know nothing's accomplished unless you do it. Lord, we're asking you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we don't know what to pray, when we don't know what to pray, title of the message that I have tonight. Have you ever had a situation where you're not really sure what you ought to pray or how you ought to pray? Certain directions. Perhaps somebody was sick, in a coma, in the hospital. You're not real sure whether you ought to pray that God would heal them or, you know, that God would take them. I probably prayed both of those when my mother was in the hospital at the end. She was suffering there a lot. I prayed, Lord, you know, heal her or take her, but let's not, you know, we didn't want to stay in that state right there. And, you know, sometimes when you think about that, I mean, you're not real sure about the direction. You know, there's times, sometimes we think our prayers, even in those situations, can be kind of self-centered. You know, sometimes we're praying that a loved one might stay, you know, that God's not going to take them, but, you know, and they might be in a bad way, and we're praying that because we don't want to see them go, you know, but we, you know, that could be a self-centered prayer as well, or sometimes we want, you know, God to go ahead and take them because it does seem like they're suffering, and really it's bothering us, you know, it's hard for us to face up with their suffering. So that's a tough time for us. You know, we're not sure. You know, we can't tell sometimes if our prayers are self-centered or if our prayers are Christ-centered. And, you know, somebody said that sometimes the prayer that we need to pray is, Lord, you know, we need to pray that we're praying correctly. You know, we just need to ask God to help us pray the correct way. And so, you know, when we don't know what to pray, you know, of course, there it talks about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. There it said, when knows our infirmities, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or could say himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Notice, though, in verse 27, it said, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Look here, according to the will of God. And so sometimes even our prayer life is like this, Lord, you know, I don't really know. It's just your will, you know, your will be done. You know, we're not, you know, sometimes we might even have a desire, a want, but we're not really sure. On the outside, it looks like this is going to be a good thing to want, a good direction to go in, a good thing to have happen. And then we say, well, Lord, you know, but you know, your will. But way down inside, we want that to happen, but we're thinking, we're not sure if that's going to be a good thing in the long run, because God sees farther than we do. And so sometimes you have to pray like that, Lord, this is what I'd like for it to happen, but your will be done, because we're not sure. You know, we're not real sure about it. Or maybe we don't want a certain thing to happen. And the opposite works as well. First point tonight, I didn't have a great alliterated outline tonight. I just kind of got the outline to help me break up the segments. And so it kind of goes with that. But, you know, number one thing is, like, when prayers go wrong, when prayers go wrong. Sometimes I'm sure we've prayed wrongly many times. In Matthew 6, and I think I used it last week, that's the model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, and I've talked about that before and will tonight, but it's a model prayer for us. Really, it's a prayer outline, just kind of a thing to get us going there, how in the direction to go with. When we look at that prayer, though, the Lord dealt with three significant issues. He dealt with giving, praying, and fasting. I was talking to Pastor Les yesterday, and I asked Les, I said, man, you know, you don't hear a lot of praying on or preaching on fasting. I told you a lot of pastors are overweight, eat a lot, I guess, and not doing much but picking up their Bibles. And he was talking about a pastor down there. I don't know him, but they just in that part of the country, Southwest Virginia, pastor, 53 years old, just died of it, just dropped dead. He something happened to him, got to the hospital. He was doing a lot better and went to take a shower, dropped dead in a shower, 53 years old. Took a church that was running about 50, and in about 7-8 years, they were running 200 people. God used him. But he said, you know, he was a big guy. His family was big. And I said, well, he probably didn't preach on fasting much either, but, you know, the Lord did. I mean, the Lord did that. But really, the great emphasis in Matthew chapter 6 is on prayer. Now, giving, he talked about giving. He talks about giving that. And that's an important thing, too. I'm not preaching on giving. I don't preach on it too often. There's kind of a stigma about giving. I was watching television the other day. Man, I tell you what, there's some shysters on TV, man. In the name of God, you know, you go to all the church channels, they got them all in a row if you got DirecTV. So I was kind of skipping along there to see what they got to say. I hit this one. And for $59 seed money, that's the operative word. Send in, you know, you can plant your $59 seed money, and boy, the blessings is going to come out from that. I don't know where they came up with 50. I think it was $58 or $59. Why not just hit 60 right on the button? You know, $59 seed money, and boy, you can plant, and then they have a bunch of testimonies. I go to the very next channel, and this guy was talking about, it was called the Miracle Seed. Something miracle, something seed that you send in. You know, you plant your miracle such and such a seed, you know. And I'm thinking, man, these guys, I mean, and listen, don't get me wrong. You're going to be on TV. It's just like us. We got the radio donation box. I guess somebody's like, hey, he's always talking about the radio donation. I don't talk about it enough probably because we're on the radio and it costs $66 to be on the radio a week, 28 minutes a week. We tried to pay for it out of that. I don't think we pay for it out of that, do we? We don't. We pay for it out mostly out of the church thing. But if you can, and I said this, like, you know, if we just gave a dollar a week, I'm as guilty as anybody. I forget about it. I need to put like $100 in there right now just to catch up on the dollar a week that I've missed, you know. But it was a little box over there. You put a dollar a week in there. If we can get $66, it takes money. And TV is a lot more expensive. I understand that. But don't give me that jive about it's miracle seed money you're going to plant. You're paying to be on television. I would just say, look, I'm on TV every week preaching to you. If you can't get out, you're bedridden and I'm on TV. Look here. Here it is. It costs this much money right here to be on TV. So I need you guys to send the money because that's how we're going to get it on donate. Just tell us what it is. Don't lie to me about it. You know, tell me, be honest, but the miracle seed money. But giving's an important thing. And I will say this about biblical giving, given what God have us to give. That I believe one of the reasons that God won't bless a lot of folks is because they're disobedient in that area right there. And you know what to do? You know, we talked about this morning. I was talking about walking by faith and not by sight. You know what happens to people when they decide, well, they look at their budget and this is what they say. This is the exact words out of their mouth. I just can't see how if I tithe, I'm going to be able to pay my bills, right? Now, what we say, walking by faith and not by sight. If you can't see it, then it would be faith. If you could see it, it's not faith anyway, right? In that area right there. And so, like I say, not really, I'm not preaching a message about tithing and all that. But the problem is, this is the one area, and it's one of the few areas in the Bible where God said, look, prove me on this deal right here. He said, you prove me. You know, give me what's mine. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to receive. Just try God. Well, but I just can't see how. Well, that's right. You can't see it. And if you can see it, it's not faith. Sometimes people justify not giving by saying, I prayed about it. Huh? Sometimes they say, well, I prayed about it. Listen, the Holy Spirit never leads you to contradict the Scriptures. Amen. Never. In no area of life does the Holy Spirit of God contradict us to go against what the Word of God says right there. And so, when we you know, when we pray correctly, given it doesn't matter what it is, God puts on our heart what's on His heart. See, that's the right kind of praying. God, what you will, thy will be done. Remember the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, then he said, thy will be done. Thy will. It's, you know, really God's will. And that's hard prayer sometimes. Somebody said this about our praying, and we probably need to pray this prayer as well. Lord, forgive us our prayers. Forgive us our prayers. They tend to be self-centered sometimes. Vain repetitions. The Bible talks about that. You know, vain repetition. That means, the topic here is improper praying. Going on and on and on and saying nothing. Listen, there's tons of examples of going on and on in prayer and not really saying nothing. Sometimes you catch yourself doing this. I've been studying the prayer thing, and I start listening to what people say and what I say. So I really, you ought to pray out loud, maybe record yourself sometime and listen to what you sound like when you pray. We'll pray to God. We're talking to God like we talk to nobody else. I mean that we should be talking to God like we talk to nobody else, but we talk to God in a way that doesn't make sense. Like, we'll say this. We'll say, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, and Lord, we want to ask you, Lord, if you would forgive us of our sins, Lord. And Lord, my relative, Lord, is in the hospital, Lord. And Lord, you know, if we took all the Lords out, we'd be done in 5 seconds. There's nobody on God's green earth you talk to like that. Well, Kyle, you know, Kyle, we're going to go hunting, Kyle. And Kyle, I was wondering, Kyle, if you saw any deer, Kyle. And Kyle, I mean, it was cold out there, wasn't it, Kyle? You know, I mean, you don't talk to nobody like that. But we talk to God and we say, Lord, and you use other word, Father, this, Father. My dad, I used to be up here, you know, and somebody be praying. And over there, when Mason and Bridget used to come, they'd always stand and sit by my dad. And I'd see Mason and Bridget cracking up. And they told me one time, they said, yeah, if your dad catches somebody saying, Lord, 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 he would say, he knows what his name is. You don't have to keep telling him. He knows who he is. You know, you don't have to tell him over and over again. And so it's got kind of funny. But really, this is what it is. You know why you do that? You know why you say, Lord, Lord, every other third verse and third word, or Father, Father? Because you don't know what to pray. Huh? You it's a little crutch that you lean on to give you that little pause in there so you can start thinking about, it's like one of those little twitches that people get that they don't kind of realize that they got them and everybody else does. It's what we do when we pray right there. Sometimes when we pray, we say some of the stupidest stuff. That's why I tell people to pray out loud. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, Lord, I want to thank you for the beautiful day. It had been raining for 5 days straight. People's houses in West Virginia were floating down the river. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a beautiful day. Now, it was a day that God made. I understand that, but I don't know that they were thinking that deep. We don't always have to start our prayers out the exact same way every time. I probably just wouldn't have said anything about the beautiful day. Maybe it's a good time to pray, Lord, I think we could use less rain than what we've been having. And here's another one. And this is vain repetition. You're praying, right? It's a prayer. Lord, I pray for Bill. Or just fill in the blank with anybody's name or anything. I pray for something. That's what you're doing. You're praying. You don't say, I pray for, in the middle of prayer. That's like saying, I talked to Lester. All right. Talk to me, you know. I talked to Lester. I'm going to talk to Lester. Okay. That's like, you know, I pray for, that's what you are doing. Now, if you say, I'm going to pray for somebody, okay, then do it. I pray for, what are you praying? What are you praying for Bill about? Are you praying that a lightning bolt will come out of the sky and hit him? Are you praying that Bill's going to get run over by a train? Make your request known. Just, I pray for somebody. That can go in a lot of directions. That can go in a lot of directions. It doesn't even really, literally, technically, it doesn't make sense in a prayer to say, I pray for. That's what you are doing. What, you know, make your request known. We got to know what it is. Somebody say, well, pray for so-and-so. Well, what? What do you want me to pray about? What do you want me to say? Just praying for them. That has no direction to it. This is why we have a lot of time, hard time getting our prayers answered a lot of times, because we're not really praying correctly. We are talking We are talking to God, praying. There's a term, how many of you heard of the term pitter-patter? You know, pitter-patter. Pitter-pattering around. You can use it in a lot of use it in a sentence, right? Pitter-patter. Listen, you know where that term came from? It's an English slang term that comes from the Latin words that begin the Lord's Prayer, Pater Noster, or Our Father. And it's an observation on how meaningless, empty repetition of even those famous words, Our Father, can become. Pitter-patter. Just Our Father, Our Father, Our Father. Just vain repetition. It can be that. Augustine said, there's a great difference between much speaking and much praying. You know, when we look at the model prayer, I've talked about that, being just a framework, it's just an outline. Just repeating that over and over again, that's not really praying. It's just vain repetition. Over and over and over. What's your request? It's got a great outline for it. We got to put the meat on the bones on that prayer request, that prayer outline right there. Another point, listen, here's another thing when you pray, and especially if you pray out loud. Pray to God. Amen. Pray to God. You're talking to God. Don't, you know, sometimes people pray to everybody that's listening instead of praying to God. I've heard preachers are some of the worst. When they get done praying, I don't know whether they're preaching a sermon, huh? Or praying to God. You know, they're going to give you the verses and the quote, you know, and we know your word says in chapter 6 and verse number whatever. Well, God knows it too. You know, you don't have to tell him. He knows it too. We know it. Sometimes people in their prayers seem to be just passing on information that they think everybody else needs to hear, but not, you know, it's talking to God. Even though we have corporate prayer, we're talking to God. And so there's some things when we pray incorrectly, and obviously if we pray incorrectly, we're not being very effective. Like I said, if you don't make a request or are maybe thanking, thanksgiving to God, making a request to God, or, you know, an acknowledgement somehow, make a statement that, you know, not just pray or pray for so-and-so. I mean, that's what you actually would be doing in a prayer. Now we think about proper prayers. You know, there was in the model prayer in Matthew 6, there's six petitions. The first three have to do with God and His glory, and the last three have to do with man and his needs. Notice that God's first. It's, you know, but how often our prayers start off with our requests and our need, and then we just kind of thank Lord at the end. The model prayer, you know, the first three are talking to God and His glory, His needs. You know, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. You know, though that's a great thing to think about. And then so the divine order is always, in every area, God first, us second. It's God first, man second. Always think about that when we pray. The outstanding feature of the model prayer is selflessness. Selflessness, you know, Thy will be done. And we understand that. The eternal takes precedence over everything else. And, you know, that's a key thing. Because what God wants is more important than what we want. It's not that what God wants is never what we want, but it's not God's wants that has to change. It's usually our wants that have to change. You know, we've got to line up with the will of God, and that's what happens as you grow in the Spirit. You know, they write a lot of books on how to grow churches. There's all kind of books out, websites, all kind of things, seminars you can go. How to get a bigger church? How to grow a bigger church? How to do the? You know, Jesus did more with 12 apostles than most churches do with 1,200 or 12,000 members in them. I mean, he just did more. And the key to it, of course, was prayer. We think about the next point, you know, first things, putting first things first, getting things in the right priority. They had a recent poll, and it was among pastors, and they were trying to come up with the top 10 reasons why churches don't grow. The top 10 reasons why churches don't grow. And the things these may not be in the order that they listed them, but they're in the top 10. They are the top 10. Exciting worship, not, you know, or lack thereof. The fellowship, things not having good fellowship. not having target ministries, not having community outreach, sometimes a need to relocate. They think that's the key. Just the facilities themselves aren't all that great. Not one pastor mentioned in this poll that they took, not one pastor mentioned in the top 10 prayer or a lack of prayer or proper prayer in the top 10. Think about that. Man, listen, I've neglected prayer. I mean, all my ministry, man, I mean, you know, you think about everything else and, you know, like all of us, did the old mealy mouth, repetitious, Lord, this is what we're doing. You bless it. Get ready to think about, man, think about the lack of praying. You know, I pray now. I'm praying now for next Sunday. I'm praying now for Wednesday night. Not wait until Sunday morning at 8:45 when we're getting ready to head out the door for choir practice. Say, oh, yeah, Lord, by the way, how about blessing the church service today? You know, I think about over the years of my ministry, because you work on, you get your outline together, man. You want everything to be just right. Get all the music and everything just set up just right. Do everything right. And you think, oh, you know, that's what's going to make. And like, oh, that's nice. I mean, I like the air conditioner on and I like to have a nice music program and all that. But the power's going to be in the prayer. Amen. Power's in the praying, man. And neglecting to pray and pray and pray over the years, man, listen, I've been as guilty as anybody as doing that and really understanding. And I can remember this. I can remember somebody. I can remember the pastor saying, oh, you know, I'm going to preach a message on praying. Oh, brother, here we go again. Felt like laying out, staying home. He's going to be preaching on praying. Great day. What a boring topic, huh? It's hard to get the snappy little illustrations and the nice little story, and you don't have some person in there in the little Bible story for you, you know, Noah and the ark and all that. You don't have all that. You just get right down to the meat and potatoes of what's wrong with our praying and what our praying ought to be doing, and, you know, and that. And it's like, oh, man, here we go. Well, that just shows you where my head was at and a lot of other people's heads, because we don't see the priority, the power, you know, what we need to have in our prayer life. And then when you look at these pastors, you know, the top 10 things. I read in the same thing, I think I shared this with you maybe a month ago or something, one of my messages, a bunch of pastors going to a pastor's conference. And, you know, they go to the pastor's conference there to, you know, to try to get, you know, recharged and fired up. And, man, they got the speaker up there speaking. And the guy said he looked around and noticed some pastors are on their cell phones. They got their laptops out. They're walking around the auditorium, bent over talking to other people on the thing, going on out the back door, going to the restroom, down out to the car, coming back. And here's the guy preaching the word of God. And then they wonder why we have a spiritual problem, you know, in our churches and a spiritual problem in our life. You know, if that's how the pastors are acting, you know, how is the congregations, our own congregations, going to respond, you know, to the word of God? Listen, it's you know, we see some issues with some of the basic things. Prayer, man, that ought to be pretty basic. Alan Redpath, he wrote a lot of good books, and he once pastored Moody Church in Chicago. He said the tendency for many Christians to imagine that a church can be conducted and led in the same way as a business. Now, see, I mean, look, you know, and listen, Jesus is all for organization. I mean, you know, when you one of the illustrations that we use to show that is when he fed the 5,000. You know, he had them all sit down in groups of 50s. He had them sit. They were in groups of 50s. He distributed. They had a little organization. And I think you got to have organization. I mean, it's nice to know we got to order a service. Miss Markham gave us one here for the homecoming coming up. It's good to have, you know, we got everything. We kind of got it down. We start off with a song and we do the offering. And we got all that down to an order and everything. It's good to have all that. But all the business, like, you know, we got a finance committee and we got budget and, you know, all the things you ought to have. You ought to have all that. I'm not saying it's against that, but that's not all of it in a church. This is, man, a church is a living organism, and we got to depend on God. We got to depend on God. We have to be responsible, but we have to depend on God. And you can't do that without proper prayer life of your church and even in your own life. Listen, think about the seriousness of this. Kids, man, a lot of y'all, you got grown kids or kids that are getting near grown, man, sending them out into the world. Every day they're going out into the world. Drive. We got down here and got ready to come to church tonight and got out there by the KC Collectible. Here comes an ambulance and a fire truck and some other rescue vehicle all going up the road because, you know, it rained. And there's somebody probably wrecked out there on the interstate. And so, man, listen, prayer. I wouldn't go out the door without it. I wouldn't let my family go out the door. I said a couple weeks ago, listen, we pray every morning. I pray for my kids, all of them, their families, everybody, that, in a church family. We pray. I mean, it's an important thing. When you look at the book of Acts, talking about that this morning, man, you see God working in a big way, buddy. I mean, thousands and thousands of people. I said this morning, the way that revival was going, the key to that revival? I said this a couple weeks ago, people pray in 24 hours, around the clock. They had schedule, people that could do it. We get so many people would be praying, for an hour here, and so many people would be praying for an hour there. And they had groups of people praying, everybody taking an hour of the day. And even on through then all the way around the clock, people that were up working, they would take an hour and pray. Man, that was the key to it. That was the key. And when you look in the book of Acts, like I said, they were meeting daily. They weren't having a revival in the book of Acts. They were living in a vived. It wasn't a revival. It was just the normal state. They were in a vived state. Take the re off of it. They had never got away from it. They were there and they were praying. When you look at that, what were they doing? Man, it talks about fellowship, and it talks about joy is a word that pops up, and it talks about praying. And they had all things in common, buddy. And I mean, and God moved in a powerful way. I said last week, what did you do? What did you do to prepare for the worship service this morning? What did you do to prepare for the worship service tonight? Everything we do for, choir that we, what we do to prepare for singing before we get here. And I'm not talking about doing the me, they like Barney Fife. I'm talking about spiritually, what are we doing to prepare? How do we get ready and just expect everything to just happen? And we tend to so many other things and neglect our prayer life as well. When the disciples, I talked about this last week or week before, and they made that request, they said, look, of all things they could ask for from Jesus, man, I mean, because you think about the neat things. They had, the apostles, particularly the apostles had power to raise the dead. I mean, to me, I don't know about you, I just think that'd be kind of neat, as a dead, rise up, they came up. They could heal the sick, lame, lepers, blind. Man, I mean, if you got a compassionate heart, boy, you could go out and do some cool things. I mean, man, you could go out and you could go down to the hospitals and, man, you could just heal people and do all that. I mean, they had the power to do those things, had all the power to do all that. But what did they ask the Lord? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because something was missing in their life. They saw their prayer life wasn't what the Lord's was. They might have seen some power that was missing in their life. They said, teach us to pray. Of all things, when we think about the things that we ask Jesus for, when you take a Wednesday night prayer meeting, you know how it goes. I mean, even though I've talked about it over and over again, and we mostly pray about physical things, and there's a few, you're getting better, and we pray about some spiritual things. How many of us say, Lord, teach me to pray? I'm not, teach me how to pray. That was their first priority of all things that they should have asked. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to pray right. And I know that they were praying already. It's not like they had never prayed. I'm sure they had prayed already. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I mean, they wanted to be taught how to pray, even though they had probably prayed. When you think about the day of Pentecost, you know how the day of Pentecost got started? Prayer meeting. He said, I want y'all to go to Jerusalem and wait there. What do you think they were doing? Playing cards, horseshoes, cornhole game. What do you think they did? They were in prayer, man. They was in the upper room. They prayed. They were having a prayer meeting. They were having a big prayer meeting, and guess what? God broke in. God showed up when they prayed. And the very next time in the Bible it says that they had a prayer meeting, what happened? That's the text where it says the building shook. So the place where they were praying, the whole place just shook. Whew. Man, see, we'd have to have it happen on Sunday morning to get everybody back on Sunday night so that they would know, what was going on Sunday night. Yeah, that it shook, that something happened. I mean, man, this is what we need to pray. It's the one thing we need more than anything is really for God to show up. I've said over and over again, if you can't pray for nothing else, you want to know what to pray about besides the weather and your bones, pray that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Ask God every day to be filled with His Holy Spirit, filled with His Spirit. Man, God, just fill me with Your Spirit. That'll solve a lot of the other problems. I always say, God, and when I pray, when we pray, I say, Lord, love someone through us. But I'll tell you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's going to happen. You know, that'll happen right there. We always pray for that too. But, you know, ask God to fill us with His Spirit every day, and then be in preparation for the next Lord's Day, the next meeting, Wednesday night meeting. Pray about that, you know, that God would do that. And those are some requests. I mean, that's some getting down some serious praying right there. God's will would be done. I'm sure that's in God's will. It's a bug up here bugging me. You know, I said this morning about the prayer meeting, you know, that's the least attended meeting of the week. Wednesday night prayer meeting for the adults. I mean, if we don't count the kids that come for the kids, man, on Wednesday night, you know, we don't have this many on Wednesday night. We got right here, usually, a little bit under this. But man, it ought to be the most powerful or the most attended, you know, and I'm not saying, well, lay out a Sunday morning and then show up on Wednesday night either, but I'm just saying, why is it not a priority among God's people? See, because we don't really believe in the power of that prayer. And I know, like I said today, somebody, well, we don't have to be down there at the church and pray. No. But I believe if you pray about it and your church doors are open, according to Hebrews 10:25, I believe the Holy Spirit of God will lead you here on Wednesday night or wherever the church. I believe that's, you know, that's going to happen. God's not going to lead. God's not going to. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name. So we're gathered in his name and he's here and he's going to lead you to stay home or go out in the woods or go fishing or something like that. I mean, I'm not talking about vacations and that. I'm just talking about general, everyday, normal work week, you know, week going. God's not going to lead us away from that. And you know, just most churches, listen, have canceled it. There's been times I've thought about it. You know, because why? Because people don't come out. You know, you just have to keep fighting the temptation to shut it down. You know, I said before, you know, we're supposed to do everything on majority vote here, but that's not true. We don't do everything on majority vote. Because if that was the case, the majority would vote to shut down Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday school. We would just have Sunday morning. If we want to go with majority, right? Because the majority's not here. So we don't do it that way. But with the Wednesday night Bible, with Bible study and prayer meeting, listen, man, it is important, man. I mean, it's an important thing. But we see this trend going and going and going. You know, at Charles Spurgeon's church, they had a Monday night prayer meeting that rarely had less than 1,000 people in attendance. Now, they had a lot of people in Charles Spurgeon church. I mean, I think on a Sunday morning, they might have had 20,000 on a Sunday morning. You couldn't get in after a certain time. You couldn't get in the heyday. But 1,000 people on a Monday night prayer meeting. We have a Tuesday night men's prayer meeting. 3, 4 maybe. Rick left, so that took one away from us. Still praying, though. We're still hanging in there. We started that back probably last December before the men's prayer advance. We knew that was coming up. We started praying, and we just decided to keep it going. Just pray. I know God will honor that for our sakes, but it'd be better if it grew, you know, and started, if it started growing as well. Instead of having a weekly W-E-E-K-L-Y prayer meeting, we probably should call it the W-E-A-K-L-Y prayer meeting. Weekly. Very weekly. Listen, prayer is serious to God, but the question is it serious to us? Is it serious to us? And I've said a lot of other things about prayer over the years or months or times I've preached. Prayer, it's work. It's serious work because you got opposition by Satan right off the bat. It's work. Distractions. And I can't, if I don't pray out loud, I've told the men this over and over and tell the ladies this too. Listen, if you're praying by yourself or wherever, pray out loud, because if you don't, you're going to get sidetracked. Satan's going to take you off on another course somewhere. You'll start thinking about something else. Your mind will wander. Mine wanders while I'm talking sometimes, much less when I'm not. Huh? And then, so you got to pray out, you know, pray out loud, pray and stay on. I know Satan's going to fight you on that. And I know, but boy, if you ever, when you start getting in the habit and you start praying for the right things, it's amazing how when you start praying for the right things, how other right things come to mind. It's like, you know, those that have gone to the prayer advances in the past, when the sweet hour of prayer, you think, man, how am I going to pray for an hour? Go and see. You won't be done in an hour. You'll still be on some of the things. They give you a little guide to go through, and you start thinking, oh, man, you know, look at some of the things that we really need to be praying about. We think about serious prayer. One of the things in the model prayer is thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Now, that's a serious prayer. You think about this. People used to, I've said this before, and people sometimes they always, boy, I just wish the Lord would come back. I just wish the Lord would hurry up and come back. Well, go out and be a soul winner. And when the last person gets saved that's going to get saved, the Lord will come back. That's it. Speed the light. Well, we're going to speed the light up by winning souls. That's how you do it right there. But think about this. Thy kingdom come. I don't know if you thought about how serious that prayer is right there. We're praying about something that will be terrible. It will be as terrible to some people as it will be joyous to others. All the lost people. All the people that don't get saved. Listen, when thy kingdom come in that context, when the Lord comes back, and when he comes back for his church, the day of grace is going to be over with. The day of grace. It's a serious prayer to pray that prayer right there. Listen, closing the doors on the day of grace as well as entrance into the kingdom of heaven. The end of repentance as well as tears and pain. And you know, a lot of Christians, the average Christian, really doesn't want to pray for that as much. You know, praying, don't really want to pray for that. A lot of times we see in life now, and in Christianity, unfortunately, and in the church, for the general thing, you know what it's all about, really? It's really about a feel-good experience. There's people, listen, they don't want to hear, they don't want you to preach hard. They don't want to hear biblical truths preaching on hell or preaching on the Lord, even the Lord's coming back. They don't want to hear preaching against sin. They don't want to hear preaching about repentance. Why? Because all those things, you know, preaching on sin can be painful if it's your sin. Preaching on repentance is kind of painful because we know the effort it takes to do it. Preaching on forgiveness and preaching on love and preaching on that, you know, there's so much. People today don't want to be put in a place of conflict. In other words, where they have to make a decision or you force them even to think about having to make a decision. They don't want that. You know, today, man, it's all about feeling good, man, you know, get a feel good experience in life. Let's have something to do that's fun. Boy, we want that upbeat music, boy. And, you know, and listen, I'm all about it. I don't care if, you know, I don't mind having the upbeat music. There's some people that get so far gone on that, they don't want to have anything. I don't mind you feeling good, but we're going to tell the truth when the time comes to preach, right? But that's all they want. They just want to feel good. And boy, we're having a good time. And what do you got for me, man? You got better donuts at the church than the church down the street does. You got more better coffee, and we're going to do all these fun things and get all that. That's about what it's all about. Man, they eliminate prayer meetings and Sunday night services because people won't come out to them. But boy, we sign up for King's Dominion and Busch Gardens, and we're going to run up and down and do this and softball and bowling team. And boy, you got people all wound up about that because it's all about me, man. I mean, I can, you know, we can just have all kind of fun doing that. Members are getting to the point where they don't think that they really need church. And soon, we'll just cut church out altogether. And some people do. Some people do, man. They just cut it all out. It's so, like I said this morning, so many people are wrapped up worrying about every single human relationship on the face of the earth and not worrying about their relationship with God. Amen. They just worry about, oh, man, you know, preacher, I ain't going to be there because we got a homecoming. Preacher, I ain't going to be there because I got Aunt Bill and Uncle Sue's coming in. Or the other way around. I'm not going to be there because, you know, we got this going on with the kids and we got to run to this and we got to do that. And the neighbors came by and all this. What about your relationship with God? We worry about everything but that. We don't want to get to where, you know, we got to make a commitment either. That's another thing. Today, it's all about entertaining the saints, giving the kids a place to hang out, providing programs because the parents are too lazy or too busy to be the spiritual leader in the home. Listen, man, so you think in a church like that, prayer is going to be a priority? What are you going to pray about? Oh, Lord, I hope we go to a better place in King's Dominion next year. I hope we can get a nicer bus to ride down there in. You know, what are you going to pray about if you have a prayer meeting? It's not a serious thing in the right place. In our text, the willingness to pray, or in Matthew, the willingness to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," is found in the level of our obedience to his word. That's where that comes. You know, his kingdom come, will be done. His will be done. You know, we have to ask ourselves this question here. Are we praying right? Think about that seriously. You know, the very first part of the message that I was talking about, I was really giving you some practical things about, pay attention to what you say when you pray. Pay attention to what you're really saying, man. Don't waste the time. I mean, make it be right. You know, make it be real. Talk to God about what, you know, in a right way. Just don't fill up dead space there. They have a term in the radio world, you know, they want dead space. That's where you don't say anything. You got to fill it up with something. And sometimes if you listen to DJs talking on the radio, that's about all they're doing, filling it up with something. They got to say something. But man, we're talking to God. You know, talk, make sense, be, you know, intelligent. Intelligently talk to God and make your requests known. And, you know, as when we don't know what to pray, you know, we start getting on God's plane. You know, think about what we're concerned about and what God's concerned about. And we'll probably find we got a big gap between what he's concerned about and what we're concerned about. A lot of times, not all the time, because God is concerned about us. But a lot of times, just where we're at in the big picture of things. Are we praying for God's will to be done on earth, or our dreams and our desires to be done on earth? As I said a couple times already in the past few weeks, are we praying, or are we just worrying on our knees? Are we trying to get our will done on earth or God's will done on earth? You know, if we're going to pray effectively, this is what, and boil it down far enough. If we're going to pray effectively, we have to want what God wants. Amen. When we want what God wants and we pray to that, and says, see, that prayer gets answered every single time. You know, are we praying right? Are we praying right? Do we know what to pray for? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.